Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 201. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Please leave a nice comment as well. That helps. We'll read your comments. We're not afraid to do that. Toby is out today. He's visiting some family. I've got producer Darris hanging out with me on the back end of the trade deadline. Darris, the Nationals did not trade Mackenzie Gore. They did not trade Josh Bell. I think a lot of people are going to make that the lead, but they did make several moves, and we're going to go through each of them on this podcast. The six players they shipped out in five trades, the 10 players they got back. I've got a lot of thoughts on what they did and didn't do, but paint with a broad brush here. Your thoughts on the Nats at the trade deadline.
Grant, always a pleasure to be alongside with you. It was a busy day. It's been a busy week. It started on Saturday when they first traded Amed Rosario, and that was the sign that things were on and popping from here. And I think ultimately, yes, there's going to be some disappointment that there was no trade able to be found for Josh Bell. I don't know about disappointment on the Mackenzie Gore front. I think it's one of those things where fans kind of talk themselves into it as the days went on. But ultimately, keeping your ace is probably the better move. But when it comes to the amount of trades that they made compared to what they did last year to deadline, where they couldn't find partners for any of the guys that we thought that they would trade, I think this ultimately is going to turn out to be a success for the Nats.
Yeah, I liked what they did. I mean, Mike DiBartolo, acting as the interim general manager, said in his mini presser that he did on Zoom after the deadline that they used data a little bit more. They really zoned in on performance at the minor league level and numbers, so to speak, in some of these deals. And I think they might have unearthed some gems. That's kind of the hope. The problem is when you trade six guys and five of them are rentals, a couple of them are players essentially you claimed off the scrap heap, you're just not going to get a lot back. I mean, there is no real value in anybody that doesn't have controllability beyond this season, who's not an impact bat or a high-end top of the rotation arm. So you have to temper your expectations that you're not getting high-end prospects in return. They didn't get a top 10 or even 12, or I don't think a top 13 prospect in anybody's system in terms of some of the ratings. But what you're hoping is when you deal with teams like the Dodgers, that you pluck a couple of arms away that were dominating in the minor leagues for them, and maybe they're better than people think. You tap into deep systems and you try to unearth some toolsy lottery ticket high school aged talents from the Dominican like they did. And sometimes you can kind of stumble into something impressive. You don't always know the day you trade for someone exactly what they are. I think it's a nice combination of some young, high upside, high ceiling players that are really far away from the big leagues. And then on the pitching front, I think they got a lot of guys that are, 22 to even as high as I think 25, 26 years old that are close to the major leagues and or have even pitched in the big leagues that have a chance to help them in the bullpen this season, the rest of the way, maybe into next year. If they want to turn them back into starters, there might be a guy or two in this crop that ends up starting games for the Nationals in the rotation at some point. But let's start with Mackenzie Gore, because I think that is the lead here. I had heard the day before the deadline, going back to Wednesday, that it was going to be hard to get ownership to sign off on a Gore deal, even if the Nationals found something from a team that they really liked. What I don't know as I sit here right now is why didn't they trade Gore? It's one of two things. Did Mike DiBartolo not get the sweetheart, amazing offer that he needed to give up a controllable front of the rotation type arm? It was just an all-star who gets better every single year, who's got 2.5 seasons still ahead of him with Washington. Or did he get a deal that he liked and he took it to ownership and they said, we just can't do this? If DiBartolo didn't like the return, if the baseball guys in the front office talk to the Cubs, but they couldn't get, you know, Ballesteros, or they talked to the Padres and they couldn't get DeVries, or, you know, whatever their sticking point was. They talked to the Tigers and they wouldn't throw Rayner or Clark into the deal or whatever it might have been. I won't even go Kevin McGonigal on you, who's the best hitter in the minor leagues. But if they just got some good offers that weren't great, then you don't have to trade Mackenzie Gore. They're going to shop him, I would imagine, this offseason. I still think it's very possible they trade him then. They'll get a little bit less, but they could still do okay with 2 years of control. I wanted to trade him, not because I don't love him. I'm a massive Mackenzie Gore fan. I think he's the real deal and a stud. But because I think the best time to trade someone like him is as soon as possible, because you get the most back. But we just don't know what the offers were. And so I'm open to the possibility that they couldn't get an A return, that they were getting B and C offers. If they got the A return and ownership didn't let them do it, that's a big problem for me. You know, one of the things I'd heard is that ownership still thinks and wants to win next year. That the idea is they're maybe not as far away as they appear. You know, objects in mirror are closer than they appear, according to ownership. And the idea would be that next year they want to win. To that, I would say, do they know they have to spend some money and have an offseason that allows you to try to win to do that? But if that's what happened, that's a frustration. And short of unearthing that and doing some good reporting, whether it's us or somebody else, I don't know that we're going to get an answer to that.
Yeah, to start on the side of if he did indeed get a deal that he liked, I would say DeBartolo at this point knows what one of those deals looks like. He was a part of the front office when Juan Soto was traded and understands what the package looks like to bring back when you're sending out a player of that caliber. So he knows that he has a player, you know, probably not the caliber of Juan Soto, but close enough, at least on the pitching side of things. So he understands what needs to come back to this organization to send out a player like that with two and a half years of control, like you said. If we're now flipping over to the ownership side, if the ownership is saying, no, we're not trading him because we're ready to compete, There definitely needs to be a conversation of, really? Are we really ready to compete? Because it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, you can't say we're ready to compete, or I need you to be fielding a winning club, or we should be over 500 next year, and then not do anything to help them get there. You know, that can't be the goal or the expectation if you're not going to spend. If you're going to go out and compete to sign Michael King and bring in Josh Naylor or, you know, sign Kyle Tucker, then okay, let's go compete. I agree with you. Keep Mackenzie Gore. Let's win 85 ball games and fight for a wild card and see what happens. But I don't know why anyone would think that that's an actual possibility. How many times are you going to kick at that football, Charlie Brown, you know, before it gets pulled away? I mean, we're talking about three or four off seasons in a row. And for the first few of those, it's okay because they're rebuilding. But this past offseason was very obviously the time where they needed to spend and they didn't. So there might be someone listening who says, oh, I actually think they might spend this offseason. I'm just not playing that game anymore. I'll believe it when I see it. As far as I'm concerned, it kind of feels like, you know, the boy who cried wolf. Like every offseason is going to be the offseason they spend. They haven't really in going on 5 years at this point.
Now, the only benefit of the doubt that I would give if, let's just say ownership denied the ability for DeBartolo to make that move, is if ownership is planning on making a move at the GM spot in this coming offseason. If they do not remove the interim tag from DeBartolo and they decide to go out and spend money on the next wave of GM that's going to lead this franchise, and they want that GM to be able to make that move, or that GM to be able to have the ability to spend money, whatever it is, if that's the case, then sure, I guess I could be talked into that. But yeah, there just has been no indication that this team's ready to compete at that high of a level next year, to the point where you keep Mackenzie Gore much
longer. And the reason we're talking about the competition, obviously, like indirectly, inadvertently, is after this season, he's got two left. Now, one of those two is going to involve a work stoppage, in my opinion. So there's even less service time he's going to be providing to you probably than two full years after this year. But I guess you can't bank on that. But the point is, they're not going anywhere this year, but to the bottom of the division, right? It's a lost rest of the season. Most of the people in town are flipping the page to football as we speak. There's not going to be big crowds. So you're talking about the 2026 and 2027 years of kind of what matters of Gore. Well, he's leaving at the end of 27. So you're going to deal him before that. I think it's very possible they deal him this offseason. If they have a bad start to next year, it could be at the deadline next year. I get the logic. Toby's talked a lot on the pod about not wanting an interim GM to trade the ace pitcher. And I think in a vacuum, that makes some sense. I don't, as you've heard, like agree or subscribe to that thinking, because DeBartolo is an interim GM in name, but number one, I actually think he will be the long-term GM. I think he did a really good job at the deadline with what he had to work with, and I think he did an exceptional job in the draft with their plan that they executed. So I think it's even more likely now that he gets the job, but I also think it was just a foregone conclusion when it happened. If they're as cheap as I think they're going to be, and if, you know, this process plays out like I anticipate, again, work stoppage looming, I don't see them going out and spending huge on a star up-and-coming GM and some next great manager in baseball. I think they kind of batten down the hatches until after 27 and kind of see what happens in the next couple of years. But on top of that, they have to decide, like, how good is this team going to be during the Gore contract? And that means 2 years after this one. Well, next year, short of them spending a ton of money, there's very little chance that they're going to be competitive. I think we'd all agree with that. And I don't mean competitive like, you know, fun to watch. I mean, could they win mid-80s games and compete for the wild card? Unless they spend Mets-like money this offseason, probably not, right? So then you fast forward to the following year, and let's just say realistically, not even realistically, actually probably not realistic at all. Let's just say hypothetically, they spend good this offseason decently, and then big the offseason after that. They have two great offseasons, and they're ready to compete. Best case scenario, coming out of whatever work stoppage might happen, you now have the three quarters or the two thirds of the season or whatever of Gore, and you're risking, if you don't trade him then, if he's still on your team, like going into that playoff push with him and then him walking out the door for draft pick compensation. So that's why, to me, I think it was a missed opportunity not to trade him. But I do trust, based on DeBartolo's aggressiveness in trading Alex Call with 4+ years of control, I think it was, the number of guys that were not bolted down that he moved, I get the sense there was an aggressiveness, an urgency, an interest in kind of moving whatever they could. It seems to me like he knows and understands that this thing is not close. And I just have to believe if they got the right offer that he would have tried to pull the trigger. That's where the ownership thing comes into play. We're just not going to know the answer. Pivoting to Josh Bell, everything that I can gather is in contrast to what I was told the day before the deadline. On Wednesday, I heard the Bell market was expected to be decent and that some teams had checked in on him. It does not sound like checking in on him turned into making any actual offer. Now, remember, the first base market was pretty bleak. I remember thinking Ryan O'Hearn was going to do pretty well for Baltimore. That happened late in the process, Darris. Wasn't a big return. It seems to me like, from what I've heard, they just didn't get a dance partner. And Nathaniel Lowe, similarly, the first base market, right? Like, they didn't have offers that they felt like they could take. In Lowe's case, because he's controllable next season, makes less sense to trade him for a bag of baseballs, although they still could move on without him and DFA him. But in the case of Bell, I would have taken a whatever you can get, like ham sandwich, 18-year-old in the DSL to be named later, 26-year-old pitcher in AAA with a 6 ERA. Like, you name it, I would have taken it just to kick the tires. I have to imagine they just weren't getting offers. Nobody was interested in a streaky hitter who's been red hot for 50 games, who normally goes hot for 40 or 50 and then gets cold. They kind of didn't want to bank on him being able to sustain that, maybe.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, and he's been traded each of the last three offseasons, which included when he was traded in the Juan Soto deal to San Diego a few years ago. But I think you're right. I think ultimately teams have kind of figured out that they don't want to fall for it at this point. Each of these last few offseasons that he has been traded, he's gone to that other team and struggled. He struggled with the Padres, didn't come up very big for them in that playoff run where he was alongside Juan Soto. He struggled last year with the Diamondbacks. I just think teams are not willing to spend any more at the trade deadline on Josh Bell and his streakiness, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, he had been very solid for an extended period of time, too. That's why I thought for sure they were going to be able to trade him as recently as a week, 3-4 days ago. And then when I heard, you know, from a league source, hey, there actually is some teams that are looking for some left-handed pop that, you know, might be checking in and kicking the tires on Bell. I thought, oh, well, this is a foregone conclusion. I mean, I haven't heard, you know, the Nats are going to trade Finnegan, Bell, Soroka, like as a kind of underline that. I'm like, okay, interesting. Well, a couple of those guys went, he didn't. But yeah, over the last 30, I mean, Bell's hitting 320 with a 495 slug and a OPS over 900. Over 50 games, he's hitting 300 with a 900 ops. Like, you're talking about a third of a baseball season. So I am really, really surprised. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he's a great player or a great hitter. I get what he is. But there's a lot of guys that got traded that aren't that good. I mean, Charlie Morton got traded, for God's sake. You know, there are other players that I could name, but we don't need to continue down the path. But I'll say this, Bell finishing out the year, whatever, take it or leave it. That's not overly interesting to me. Mackenzie Gore being around as an all-star, as a guy that gets better every year, his ERA has improved every season, who's still probably got one more gear left to find to be a really more consistent, legitimate, high-end number two, low-end number one starter, pitching like he did in the first half. I think this is a guy that's going to have years in his career where he's between 3 and 3.25 with his ERA and really pitch like a horse. He's coming into his own. He was leading the league in strikeouts for a long time. I know two of his last three starts haven't been good, but I think, you know, he struggled with some control. Maybe the trade deadline got to him a little bit. We'll see. But you could do a lot worse than still having a really good pitcher in your rotation. I'm just a little frustrated because he's such an unbelievable asset. All these teams that don't want to spend big money on pitching, like Baltimore, to get two postseason runs plus whatever happens this year, the rest of the way, if you're the Orioles, I know you're not making the playoffs, for a guy that's controllable, you don't have to spend big money on. Like, it didn't even have to be teams hunting the World Series this year. If I'm the Orioles, I would do that. Now, maybe they would tell you, well, we'll do it in the offseason. We don't have to do it right now, and we'll give up a little bit less, and that's probably true. But 20-plus teams should have been calling the Nationals on him. The idea that they couldn't get a really good deal is hard for me to fathom.